Hey guys, and welcome back to Lessons Learned. This is Amelia Joyce. We're here on Radio Laurier. This is episode 6 of Lessons Learned. I guess you'd say pumped about this episode because of the message behind it, and this is probably like a really one of the more important messages that I think have like come across my radio show, because it took me even a long time to even have like this perception at all. Whether it was like 10 years ago, I did not have this perception of self-worth, which is what this episode is about, is self-worth. And first I want to talk about what even self-worth means to me as an individual, and how the definition has kind of changed for me over the years, and how I grew self-worth. Because when I was younger, I didn't have it nor know what it was. And self-worth, you know, and the image of yourself kind of go hand in hand. And I had a very poor image of myself when I was growing up, mostly like to do with like body image. And like I said, self-worth and the image of yourself and how you view yourself, how you perceive yourself, and like how you think you are when you look in the mirror or whatever, how people perceive you, it has a big effect on your self-worth. And you barely even see value in yourself. And that's what having a lot of self-worth is. And I did not have that, especially when I was an adolescent, like as a teenager. And it's so crazy to me now, like looking back at like my view of myself, because my parents were kind of like teaching me that I should be molding into a different type of person than I was, which was, now that I look back on it now, it's definitely like an issue. But growing up, that's all I knew, because from their understanding and like from their perspective, I was getting bullied a lot, and my siblings were very like popular and athletic and a lot like my parents. My parents are very athletic people. They like sports. But I just like wasn't that into it. And my parents put us in softball and baseball when we were younger. I was about 4 or 5 when I first started playing softball. And I did it all the way up till the time I was 12 years old. And I didn't even really like it that much. It was more like a community thing and also a family event thing. Like we went to softball and baseball quite often because my brother also played baseball on top of that. So there was a lot of like family time that surrounded sporting events. And then during the winter, my brother played hockey. And also at some point, my sister started to do track and field and cross country. So we would watch her races. It was just very, like, sports-centered when I was growing up. And like I said, I just wasn't that into sports. And I, not only that, but I just wasn't built for it. My siblings, I have 3 other siblings. And my siblings, and even, like, my mom and my dad. Not so much my dad, just because of his metabolism. But he really has, like, a really passion and a admiration and a love for sports. And both of my set of parents got like in 8th grade, the like female athlete and award for my mom, and then the male athlete for my dad. And then my brother also won it when he was in 8th grade. And, so it was like kind of like a lot of pressure for sure, to say the least. And they all kind of love sports, right? And even my parents did. So there's this kind of like this, like, they even put like this emphasis on sports being as a form of success and like I said, popularity. And they just wanted me to not get bullied anymore, because I was getting bullied by a lot of different people. And they thought, you know, if they were to put me in sports and try and mold me, and they also put inside my head that I should, you know, not be curvy, which I was, because I have a low metabolism like my father, not like my other siblings. All my other siblings have the metabolism of my mother, which is very high. They could basically eat and eat and eat and eat and wouldn't gain a pound. I lose weight and gain weight very easily because of my metabolism, so it just fluctuates a lot. And even though, they saw that I wasn't really into the whole sports mindset or athletic mindset, whatever, what have you, they still tried to, they didn't want me to miss out on the community part of it and having friends, but I still wasn't making friends even though I was in sports. And even at one point, because I told them that I didn't like playing softball anymore. So they enrolled me in cheerleading at one point when I was in sixth grade. It was in an outside of school, you go to a gym kind of thing, you have competitions. I did that for a year. I was 12. And I only did it for a year. And I remember, it was the whole nine yards, the mini skirts, the sparkly eyeshadow, the bows, the wink, all that, catching girls in the air, helicopters, all that stuff. Okay. And after a year of doing it, I remember it was the last practice or second last practice thing, because we had it every Monday, and I was 12 and I had done it for a year. And they're like, all right, so who's coming back next year? And everyone raises their hand in that circle except for me. And everyone's just like, why, Amelia? Why? They're kind of questioning why. I just said I just didn't want to, and I just didn't like it. And it was just so silly to me that my parents were I don't know if anyone knows this, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money my parents were spending just so I would be fitting in with everyone else, even though I hated doing it, you know. And I remember in second or third grade, my mom had us in singing lessons for a year, and then she pulled us out because softball got too much and school and everything. And then once I finished cheerleading in sixth grade, I was about to go into seventh grade, okay, I basically begged my parents to put me in singing lessons again, because I like a different place, not the same place, one where I could walk to, sorry, that's my water bottle, one where I could walk to, and it was kind of my after school activity instead of the sports that I was dreading, you know, that I didn't even like doing. And they were spending all this money and time and all this stuff, effort, doing something for me, which I didn't even really enjoy. So I basically begged them to put me in singing lessons instead. And then I got, so after a while of begging, I actually did convince them to, which was awesome. So from seventh grade to all the way up until the beginning of 12th grade, I took vocal lessons at this little guitar shop near my house. And then also in 10th grade and 12th grade, I took vocal music class, because there's an open course in 10th grade. And then in 12th grade, there's a university UC course, mixed, you know? And so even in 12th grade, after I stopped taking singing lessons outside of school, I was still taking it inside of school in 12th grade too. And it's just really something that kept me grounded, was music and singing, and just going to that little guitar shop and just belting it instead of, you know, all the time I was spending going to my sibling's sporting events. I had something for me finally. And I finally, slowly at that point, started to see you know, that there's unique things about me, you know, and that I don't have to be a certain way to, like, have good skills and, like, people like me or whatever, or to feel good about myself, you know. That was the whole thing, that I didn't really feel good about myself doing sports because I was so bad at it, and that I didn't enjoy it also. Like, it doesn't really matter if you're bad at it, but the main thing, I didn't enjoy doing it, and it didn't make me feel good about myself. Like, singing really made me feel good about myself, especially because my parents weren't making me feel good about myself, like I said. My parents were kind of shunning me for being who I am, even though they were paying for music lessons. That, like, that was just kind of, like, a band-aid, which was what they were doing with sports, too, like, because we were getting, like, emotionally neglected, so that was kind of, like, their fix. They tried to put us in as many activities as possible to kind of distract us from, like, that, like, part of neglect of our lives, and that's what sucked, so that's why it was very, like, almost therapeutic for me to have that at the time, especially because I've said in my previous podcast that between the ages of, like, 12 and up, it was very rocky, because my grandfather died, and that's my mom's dad, and my mom just went downhill from there, especially with her alcoholism. So it was definitely a good outlet for me to have during that time, because it was such a rough period of my life, because my mom's addiction became worse and worse, and, like, her anger outbursts became worse and worse during that time, where she would come home and just be angry at somebody and something, just kind of pick, and we would all kind of hide from her, and, like, you know, we didn't want to kind of deal with it sometimes, and there was a lot of nights where it was really bad, so it was really good that I had that to, like, build up something that was getting neglected, if that makes sense. And I had a really bad body image of myself, and, like, image of myself in general, because of what my parents were, like, teaching me about, like, life. They were kind of saying that, well, they were giving me the message that, you know, in order to be successful, I had to do certain things. I had to, you know, follow a certain way of life, and, you know, be pretty and be thin and, you know, try and find a suitable man so, you know, you could have kids and get married and all that stuff. And, like, that was kind of, like, the only direction they, like, thought or wanted me to go, I don't know, or, like, thought that was the right way, which there is really no right way, by the way, there's really no right way, and with the whole, me being bullied thing and kind of, like, being an outcast, that, like, music didn't help with that, don't get me wrong, like, it's not like I was suddenly liked after that point. It just made me feel better about myself. It made me feel like I was actually worth something. That, you know, I was different, but in a good way, you know? And, like, compared to now, like, it's so wild to think about compared to now, of, like, my mindset then and my mindset now, because, like, I was basing my self-worth on, like, how people perceived me for a long time, because that's what I was taught, right? That's what I was being told, and that, like, I was constantly thinking about what others were thinking of me, like, how others thought of me, how others perceived me, and, like, oh, what if they saw this, or what if some so-and-so heard this, because that's how my mom always kind of justified things. Like, she'd be like, what if this person saw this, or, like, you know, whatever. And it's like, what if, though? And at a certain point, I just, after, like, she would say those things to me and say, like, well, what if people saw, I just kept thinking in my head, like, after a while, like, what if they did? So, Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Like, I feel like it's not about how other people perceive you or how others look at you. It's about how you feel about yourself inside, you know, how you see yourself. And I didn't learn that from my family. I learned that from like life, that the main like true important thing is how you feel about yourself and like what you're doing and your character. Not how someone is gonna see you or if they're gonna be mad at you or, you know, they're gonna be grossed out by you or embarrassed by you or like, you know, like I always thought my parents were gonna be embarrassed by me by things that I was doing because that's what they were the message they were putting out there. So I was always afraid to like say things or do things, talk to them, and like I knew what they would praise, like what they viewed as successful or like, you know. And I was never really praised as a child, so it's kind of like hard to feel good about yourself when your like own parents, when you think your own parents don't even like think you're good enough. Like that's a big pill to swallow. You kind of have to leap over that, be like, okay, well, my parents don't think I'm good enough, but I think I'm good enough. And you know, that's the mindset you kind of have to go into it when your family's kind of like unhealthy in that way and like almost not almost toxic, very toxic way of thinking is, oh, let's constantly think about how others are going to perceive me and let's live my life that way. Like I didn't want to continue living like that, and I don't know when I figured that out, when I figured out that I didn't want to live that lifestyle like they do, where they are thinking about how others are going to perceive them, or you know, I don't know when I figured I was like, wait, I don't want to live my life that way, but I realized I didn't. And in order for me to do that, I've had to like, you know, not even like have them in my life because of like the negativity it creates. Like it creates so much negativity in my life, and like it's even hard for them to understand like how much toxicity it really does create for me and how much toxicity they do create. Because they don't even realize they're doing it, which is which is the suckiest part. Suckiest isn't a word, but like it's just not like it's hard. I can't even convince them otherwise because this is just their mindset, right? This is how they live their life for decades, So who am I to say that they need to change it? Because that's the way they've lived their life. And I'm never gonna, you know, say someone's wrong in their thinking because that's their perception, you know, that's how they were raised and all that stuff. And I'm not gonna say someone is wrong for caring what people think, even though I don't personally believe in it. You know, I personally don't find value in it, and I don't think it's a healthy way to live a life, but it's just me cutting them off, right? I just don't want to mix my mental health into it or my daughter's mental health in it too, or we're being dragged down by that mindset, you know, of like poor self-image. And it's just like a matter of like, I've had like almost a mindset now of telling myself, like, you know, I am enough, like, you are enough. Like your own company is awesome. Like I've over the years, 'cause I'm 27 now, over the years of this like whirlwind of a life that I've had so far, I've learned to love my own company. And there's a lot of people that I know that like don't like their own company, and I really wish it wasn't like that. But I've learned to because at the end of the day, like everyone you know, in some way is gonna disappoint you, in some way. you know? And the only really person you have at the end of the day, like the person you have to live with day in, day out, is yourself, you know? That's you. And if you can't live with your own company and just like, you know, like yourself and just like be alone with your own thoughts, it's hard to be healthy around anyone else or love anyone else because you don't even like truly love who you are. So it's hard to, you know, put out that love if you can't even like really receive it from yourself even with, you know, like that's a big thing. And like, it was a hard like leap I had to go from like not believing in myself. Like I didn't believe in myself, for a good chunk of my life. Because my family was like, it sucked. Probably the most traumatizing thing from that whole thing was being put on a diet. Cause being put on a diet when you're a child can be very traumatizing. Like not even being put on a diet from like your doctor or yourself, like where you're like having issues where you think you need to be on a diet. It's literally my parents limiting my food intake, and asking me what I'd eaten each day. So they would come home from work and ask me what I'd eaten that day, and I had to have to list it, right? Which was brutal, and sometimes I would lie because sometimes if I told them what I'd eaten, they would say I'd eaten too much and they wouldn't give me dinner. So sometimes I would lie and tell them that I hadn't eaten anything or I'd eaten like toast or something, you know, something very small. So they would make me dinner, because I was always hungry because they never really made us breakfast, except for maybe like once in a blue moon on the weekend. Okay. And then we'd have like lunch, like a sandwich and snacks, and we'd come home. Right. So like, and because I was the child, like, by the way, my other three siblings weren't on a diet. It was just me. Because my siblings weren't the ones gaining weight from the food that we were eating. I was, and I was the one getting bullied for it. Like, I was getting, a part of my bullying was people would make fun of me for being fat, bigger, whatever, curvy. And, which was in some form abnormal or whatever. To them anyway. And so my parents' solution to get me to like, you know, stop gaining weight was to limit my food intake. And I was always so hungry, because of, like I said, my low metabolism. Can't really take that, honestly. It's not really good for my metabolism or my body or whatever. And then because they were limiting my food or like, you know, wouldn't make me dinner sometimes, I would wait for them to go to sleep and I would just eat, like grab whatever I could and run to my bedroom and then eat whatever I could and then pass out. And yeah, that was probably the most traumatizing thing, was my parents like telling me that I needed to lose weight. And you know, limiting my food and yeah, having me on a diet essentially, and giving me a very, 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 very poor image of myself, when I was growing up, especially because, like I said, it's not like I saw my other siblings getting this treatment. It was just me because I was the only one gaining weight, even though we were all eating the same amount. It was just like a very intense thing to go through, as a child, as an adolescent. And like I said, it gave me a very poor image of myself. So I kind of had to grow out of that mindset, which was, I still have those thoughts. Like I still have their voices in my head sometimes. And I still like have unhealthy eating habits because of that trauma right there. And, like, me literally thinking and, like, having a voice inside my head saying I don't deserve to eat more or I don't deserve to eat at all. Because that's what, that's literally my little parent's voice in my head, right? Which is so messed up. To think as, like, a 27-year-old woman, I still have that voice in my head. But I do. Which, it's not fun to still have that voice in your head. Literally telling you that you don't deserve something that everyone needs. Like, everyone needs to eat. Everyone needs food and water to survive. We need fuel for our bodies every single day to, like, keep it going. And the fact that I have this voice in my head from my parents, from my childhood, telling me that I don't deserve to eat, even though everyone on this planet deserves to eat, right? So definitely, like, PSA for, like, parents, be careful what you, like, put out there as a message to your children. And, like, the image of themselves is everything, like, how they feel about themselves. And, you know, them loving themselves is a big thing, because I'm trying to instill into my daughter to love herself and that she's beautiful and that, you know, she can do anything and that, you know, she is wonderful. She's very smart and all those things and funny and kind. Because I was not instilled that into myself. Like, I was not told that I was good enough or, you know, could do anything. My parents kind of wanted me to do something that was, would gear me in the right direction. I don't, you know, not too, like, difficult or unachievable. Just kind of what basic, simple, whatever. And I always felt like I wasn't enough. I always felt like I wasn't good enough in their eyes, or that I wasn't succeeding in their eyes, or I just was kind of, like, there, you know, that I wasn't gonna be, like, the child they're proud of, which is, like, a hard feeling to have. And I had to go over that, and I kind of, being a mom definitely helped me get over a lot of those things, because I think Lily is such, like, the most, like, special human on this, like, in the universe, like, in the entire universe. And I just have, like, such a strong bond with her, and I love her so much, and I think she can literally do anything she wants, and I think she, literally the sky is the limit for her. And, like, thinking that about, like, my child and a human being in general, I've had to think back to my childhood and really dig deep, really, and see what I want, how I want it to be different, how I want her perception to be of herself, of me, really, and, like, how she views herself, because I know I was being taught a really strange message to kind of change myself. And I didn't want her to think that way. I didn't want her to think that she needed to change anything or be a certain way for me. Like, I didn't want it to be conditional love, which is a very strong, prevalent thing in my household that I felt, was that my parents' love was very conditional. And I didn't want it to be like that. I wanted unconditional love with my child, you know, where it's, she will always be loved for who she is and not, like, shamed for who she is or looked down on for who she is, or, you know, for example, limiting her food intake. Like, I would never do anything like that, because it's just so twisted to me, that mindset where you're trying to change a child, especially a child so young. Because the first time I remember hearing, you know, that I was bigger was, like, 9 years old. It's a very young age to hear that, you know, you should be losing weight. Like, I literally was told by my mom that I should be losing like 5 or 10 pounds at the age of 9 because I had my first stretch mark at the age of 9. And as time went on, it just got worse and worse. Like I said, with the diet and everything. And my image of myself got worse and worse because I just thought I had to be a certain way and that, like, life would get better eventually. And also I was putting this message for some reason that life would get better if I was thin. And I, like I said in my birthday episode, like, every year on my birthday when we had a birthday cake and I'd blow out the candles, and even, like, 11/11 when you make a wish, every year on my birthday, when I blow out the candles, I wish that I was thin because I thought that would make me happy. Because I saw my siblings happy and like that kind of, and like my parents wanted me to lose weight. So I was like, okay, well, the only way I'm going to get really happiness in the situation, my parents are going to be proud of me, is if I lose weight. So I'd always wish that I was thin, because if I was thin, then my parents would be happy with me that I was losing weight, and then maybe I'd have more friends, all that stuff. And it was just kind of like a sad image to have as a teenager. That, like, you think that your parents would be more happy with you and, like, love you more if you were skinnier. That's truly, truly what I thought, is that, like, they'd love me more, and that they'd be, you know, more proud of me if I was, which is, like, really, really messed up. And I, being a mom now, that mindset is completely, like, flipped, because I didn't want her to grow up thinking, like, the image, you know, that she needed to aim for something else. I didn't ever want her to think that she needed to aim for anything, or she needed to mold into anything. And I really want her to grow up knowing that, you know, she doesn't have to strive for anything really, and that she can really be anyone that she wants to be, and believe in herself, and, you know, not really, like, be jealous of others and, like, what they have, and just kind of, like, you know, have peace in what you have and know you have worth in yourself. Because I really don't want her to have the same voice in her head 20 years later, if that makes sense. Like, the voice I was talking about earlier in my head that I still have from my childhood, I don't want her to have that voice into her 20s, into her 30s, you know. That'd be really not ideal. And I want to break the cycle, essentially, like, break the cycle of that perception, of that mindset. And when it comes to, like, having self-worth, a lot of things kind of bundle into it, all in one, and that is, you know, having self-love, really, like, love for yourself, loving yourself for who you are. So self-worth and self-love and self-care, all of those things kind of bundle into one, like self-care, self-love, and self-worth. Like, you really need to have all of those things within your mind and within yourself to be able to flourish in a healthy way. 'Cause if you really don't take the time to have that self-care and also love for yourself, like, not even just, like, fake love where you just are faking it and are just kind of, like, but really, 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 like, loving yourself for who you are and how far you've come and who you hope to be and the character that you have, and finding value in that. Like, I heard this saying once when I was, like, I've done a lot of work on, like, self-worth and, like, growth on it, and also therapy on it. And I heard this saying, and it said, There is, that's my water bottle again. Love that for me. And it says, there are things about you. There are things about you that, you know, someone in this lifetime may never find worth in. You know, they may never find anything interesting about it, but it doesn't really matter. There's things about you that someone may never like, but it doesn't matter because you like that about yourself and you find worth and value in that about yourself. Perception of other people at the end of the day doesn't matter, because what matters is that you can live with yourself and that you can know that you are good enough without having someone to tell you. And that's another thing, is like, people think they're going to find happiness if they try to find happiness in another person, in someone else. And I've come to realize in my lifetime that that's not true, that you shouldn't try to find happiness in someone else, because it always will fail you. Because like I said, in some which way, everyone is going to disappoint you in a way. And you should really be trying to find happiness within yourself, not in other people, because, you know, people have different goals and different things going on, and, you know, they can't always be your source of happiness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, they can't. And on those like times and days that they can't, you're going to feel, you know, low points, because all your happiness and source of happiness has gone into that person. And when they're busy or, you know, at a low point themselves and can't, you know, give that like attention or love or care, you're going to be at a low point because you've put all your source of happiness into other people. And it's really about finding that comfortableness, like feeling really comfortable with yourself in order, and feeling like content with being just by yourself and being alone and being and your own company and just hanging out with yourself. Like, at the end of the day, if you can't hang out with yourself, how can you show true care and love to someone else? Because you're not even showing it to yourself. And I think a lot of people have like struggle with that mindset, because there's so much fulfillment that comes out of loving and caring about other people and helping people and, you know, caring about people and, you know, helping people that we care about, and like, even like, you know, spending time with them. And, you know, a lot of fulfillment comes out of that. And we do need like social aspects to our life. But we also need time to reflect and time to ourselves to really get to know who we are and really like who we are, instead of like ignoring everything that, you know, we've gone through and like what we don't like about ourselves. Like, I've had to, by spending time with myself, I had to face what I don't like about myself and what I like about myself. And, you know, we all have flaws, and I've said this in another episode as well, but like, you could be the juiciest, most ripest peach in the entire world, but there's always going to be someone who doesn't like peaches. Like, there's someone out there who doesn't like peaches, even if you're the best one. And it's about really, even though you consider these traits negative in a way, there's people out there who will find those traits positive, you know, and will like those things about you. And I feel like the flaws are what makes us beautiful and human, and we would kind of all be boring if we didn't have flaws. It kind of makes us very, very unique, each of us, you know. And I kind of like being like a dynamic person, where I have a lot of different sides to me and a lot of different like modes to me and a lot of things I've been through. And my image and mindset has changed a lot throughout my lifetime. And I like being that I've grown so much, you know, I like knowing that my mindset is completely different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know? And I just really hope that like everyone like takes time in their life to really get to know who they are and not even just like a facade of who they are, but like what they want out of life and who they hope to be as a person, who they like want to be like character wise. Because I feel like true, like genuine character and true good character comes out of people who know who they are and love themselves and spread that love to other people and spread that like positive energy to other people. And people, you know, who don't have a lot of self-worth in themselves, who don't love themselves, who aren't comfortable with themselves, you know, spread those negative vibes, spread hate and spread, I guess, their lack of self-worth onto others and kind of project it onto others, which is very unfortunate for the people who get that end of the stick, right? And it's, we have to remember though, like when people are projecting their lack of self-worth or their lack of self-love onto us, that it's really not about us, you know? It's about how they see themselves. And I just kind of think of it now, like when someone is projecting that stuff onto me and, you know, screaming at me, what have you, because people can project in different ways. I just kind of think to myself, you know, well, this person's acting like this because they're ignoring something, you know, they're projecting their insecurity, lack of self-worth onto others, onto me, you know, and they're ignoring kind of their own deep-rooted issues of not being comfortable with themselves and kind of projecting that onto others. And I kind of like look at it that way now as like, 10 years ago when I was in high school, I was not thinking in that mindset, like as a that's very mature compared to 10 years ago, because I'd be like, oh my god, she's so silly, like, you know, like just like thinking that like people are doing it as like a tactic towards me, but it's really not about me, you know, it's really not about the other person, it's really about how they feel about themselves. And I've had to learn that like when people are being mean to you, bullying you, whatever, it really has nothing to do with you. It's how they're being treated in their life, how they're being raised, whatever. And because my parents were giving me the message that it was me, I was the problem, and that I should be losing weight to be popular or to, you know, have friends. And I should be doing sports so I could have friends, even though I didn't like it, you know, just so I could fit in. And it's kind of like, you know, why am I trying so hard to fit in when I'm born to stand out, kind of thing. And I realized that along the way that it wasn't even who I wanted to be, where I'm projecting that like onto others and living my life that way, living my mind that way. And it's just very unhealthy to me and very toxic way to think about myself and a way to like mold myself, or to every time I make a wish that I wishing that I was thin like my family. Like that's just so twisted, like looking back on that now. And I just can't even believe that like I thought that was completely like normal, because that's all I knew. That's all I knew. So it's hard to like think anything else, right? And being an adult and being a mom has really shown me a kind of like a third eye to it all, where I never want to have that mindset again where I think I need to aim for something or that I think that I'm not enough. And I don't want Lily to have that mindset either, you know, like, and it's still a struggle. Like, I'm not saying it's like an overnight thing. It's definitely not been an overnight thing. And like I said, I still have thoughts that are not good about myself. Even though I have a lot of self-worth built up to this point where I am comfortable with myself. I like my own company. I like hanging out with myself. There's a lot of times where I'd rather just be by myself because it's, you know, I know I'll be comfortable and, you know, not have to worry about any other like toxic energy, because I know I won't be creating it in my own environment, kind of thing. So like, from, I've definitely come a long way, but I still have like negative thoughts because of the upbringing that I've had. And I can't even imagine someone else having like an even worse mindset when they're younger and then never ever going through these revelations that I have and still thinking that lowly about themselves and maybe even lower. Because it's just like a constant cycle of not loving yourself and then projecting that somewhere. And constantly thinking about what others are going to say or what they're going to do or what they're going to think. I can't even imagine going into my 30s with that mindset, let alone into my 40s, 50s, 60s. And it's really sad to me that a lot of my family members are still in that mindset, and that they will die in that mindset where they are constantly thinking about if someone is going to think badly about them or like in a negative light or be embarrassed by them. I was constantly thinking about if we're going to embarrass the family in some way. And it really shouldn't be about that, you know, in my opinion. And I really, really, truly believe that, like, we should find value within ourselves and, like, find the stuff we like about ourselves that people may never like. And, like, knowing what you like doing, you know, what you like doing your pastimes with, what you like your hobbies to be, and not being forced also what your hobbies to be. I was, for a long time, was my hobbies were being forced upon me where I didn't even like the hobbies I was doing. It was kind of just kind of sign up my name kind of thing. But then I, you know, eventually got to find what I enjoy doing, what I enjoy spending my time doing, and making, you know, basically my endorphins up, raising my endorphins, because people raise their endorphins in different ways. And like, it's about finding what raises your endorphins in a healthy way. Whether that be, you know, sports, for example, for some people, or music, like me, or drawing, you know, art, or, you know, numbers, or anything, like literally just finding like a passion or like things that you enjoy doing and finding worth in that and knowing that you have skill in that and that you have worth somewhere and value and that you get in like endorphins high off of something that you feel admiration for or passion for or what have you. And really finding like passion for yourself, at the end of the day, like finding admiration for yourself, is definitely key, because, you know, you can have admiration for your friends and your family members and people around you, but it doesn't really mean anything because you don't have admiration. You don't love yourself. You don't have admiration for yourself. So it's kind of like worthless. And what is worth everything in the world is you, you know? Because I feel like everyone should feel that way, that they are worth it, that they are good enough, that they deserve everything on this planet and more, and that they can achieve everything on this planet and more. And that they don't have to feel bad about being who they are ever. I feel like a lot of people feel bad for being who they are, and they really shouldn't. Feel like everyone should embrace who they are and embrace the differences we all have, and also the similarities we all have, because we're all similar. We're all humans, so we all make mistakes, and we all have flaws, and we all have things in common also. And it's really just finding like the balance of like loving yourself and loving life and finding worth and value in your life. And that can come from a variety of things, and it looks different to everyone. And that's what I learned also, is that worth and value and success look different to everyone. What could be successful to me may not look successful to you, and vice versa. And like, that's okay if like a certain lifestyle doesn't look or feel successful to someone else. It doesn't really matter, because that's the life that person's living and they're happy doing it. And I feel like as long as people are like being positive, I don't really see an issue in people doing what they love, you know, if they're spreading positive vibes. And I don't think anyone should judge each other for, you know, what makes people happy, and really judge each other for who they are and what makes them happy and what they find value in and what they like doing, what they find worth in. I just feel like we're all each other, like individuals, and we all have like strengths and weaknesses, and we all have different things that we love. And you know, you might not agree with what other people love or like doing, but that doesn't mean it's wrong or that it's any less valid or any less worthy than what someone else is doing. I feel like it's more about like, if you're happy within yourself, then you're winning. Like, if you're truly happy within yourself, if you truly love yourself and you're comfortable within yourself, then you're succeeding. Then you're winning. It has nothing to do with money or how many friends you have, or, you know, how many followers you have, or what your parents think of you, or what the world thinks of you, or anything. It really, truly, truly comes down to how you feel about yourself, how you perceive yourself, and how you live your life all day, every day. Are you content with who you are? Because that's what you have to live with in your mind all day, every day, right? Is that image of yourself. Are you constantly critiquing yourself and questioning yourself all day long? You know, are you always putting yourself down? Or are you building yourself up and know that you have worth in yourself and you love yourself and you're comfortable and know that you have value? Like, those are two different mindsets. And I've had to come from, you know, going from completely low, where I didn't think I had worth in myself, completely, to now, where I am finally realizing the value that I have, and being comfortable with it, and knowing that it's okay to not be okay sometimes also. I feel like a lot of people sometimes don't think that way, but like, it's okay not to be okay. And, you know, we all have low points, but that doesn't mean you're any less worthy or that you're not enough, because everyone has points where they don't feel the best. But that doesn't mean that you don't have love for yourself. It just means that there's highs and lows to life. Life is a roller coaster. And it's really about how you deal with those roller coaster ups and downs, right? And if it's in a healthy way or in an unhealthy way. And I feel like it really helps dealing with those ups and downs. I feel like it tremendously helps if you have self-worth and self-love because you don't react as negatively or as toxic as someone else would with who doesn't have self-worth, you know, because now when like drama or toxicity occurs in my life, I don't even give it the time of day, you know. It's kind of just irrelevant to me at this point. It's very childish and it seems a kind of like a waste of energy to do because I know that it's not going to do anything for my character or my self-worth or my life. You know, it's not going to go, it's not going to bring me anywhere. And it might make someone feel better for like a millisecond because of the emotions that they have, but like it still will bring me down further in mindset, right? So I feel like that kind of energy and like judgment thinking or just like toxic behavior in general, it just like I don't even acknowledge it when that happens anymore because it just is so silly to me, you know, that people are projecting not having self-love within themselves and, you know, not being comfortable within themselves, and they're projecting that onto me, and like, so I don't even do it, I don't even reciprocate, because it's just gonna be more and more negative energy that I would be creating back, and that's not what I want to do anymore in my life that I've had to do in the past because of my family dynamic, where we're constantly like kind of like putting each other down or everyone down, whatever. And I, like I said, I want Lily to have a completely different upbringing mindset, me raising her, you know, it's just, I don't want her to think that she's not enough because like, she's like so more than enough, you know, and I didn't think that. I didn't think that as a child. And like, I want her to know that like, she's beautiful, you know, for who she is, not for who she could be. And it's really sad to me that I wasn't taught that message, that I had to kind of learn it in from life experiences, but I kind of glad that I did because it's made me really like have a really strong mindset where like no one can really walk all over me or manipulate me or trick me into negative thinking or talking bad about people. I've kind of gotten over that whole like hump where I don't want to, you know, spread negative vibes anymore. I don't want to think lowly of people anymore. I don't want to think lowly of myself anymore where I'm putting myself down constantly or I'm constantly thinking that I need to be doing something different or better, you know. I try to be content with myself and like, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day and like we always are things that we can improve on day by day, but like it shouldn't be like an intense thing that like you're pressuring yourself over because it's really like a day-to-day thing that builds up self-worth and slowly building up like a kind of like a confidence of who you are and loving who you are truly to the core, like to the core, where you're not deflecting or ignoring any of your issues anymore. Because that's a big thing is deflecting and projecting all of your issues onto others. And like, I completely understand that being a coping mechanism for a lot of people. But I don't want to go into like high school mindset forever, you know, where, or like, I guess my family dynamic mindset for the rest of my life. And bring that cycle into my own child as well. Like, it just seems so silly. And I've truly found happiness like within myself and like the things that I'm doing, the things that I like doing and like being a mom, even like I found really true happiness in being a mother and where I don't like need a partner or anything or validation from anything like that because I have all this self-worth build up, right? And I can be by myself and just be comfortable and like hang out with myself and just be vibing, you know, just vibing. So yeah, I think this is a very like important episode, because everyone should know that they're enough. Everyone should think that they're enough, that they are worth something, that they have value, you know? And I've had a lot of struggles with that. And I definitely understand not having this mindset, and it's a hard mindset to even get to. So I definitely understand like being at the lowest mindset you could possibly have for this. So if anyone wants to like talk to me about like having a bad, you know, image of yourself or a bad perception of yourself or self-worth, like you can definitely talk to me about it. I'm all ears. My main forms of social media that I'm most active on are Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Twitter and TikTok are Emelia Joyces, so Emelia Joyces, and then Instagram is just Emelia Joyce. So if you want to message me on any of those about this or any other topics I've talked about in any other episodes, I'm glad to speak with you, because I know a lot of these topics can be very intense, and like some people may have questions, and people have asked me questions, because just to clarify anything. So you can definitely do that. I definitely enjoy like speaking about stuff like this and spreading positive messages like this, because I think it's important to even say, and for the mindset for people to have, especially going through like this wild life that we go through, especially during this pandemic. Definitely good to have, you know, feel love into yourself. But yeah, I'm going to sign off now. This is Lessons Learned. This is Emelia Joyce. I'm signing off for Radio Laurier. I hope everyone has a good rest of your week. And signing off now. Bye, everyone.